And first of all, let me say Happy New Year's. This is Richard Mabian, and by luck, I got a chance to be on here the last show of the year. Hang on just a second. I'm getting some feedback from my headphones, and I want to get that corrected. All right. Oh, boy. How we doing? No, I still got some feedback coming in there, so be careful, everyone. All right, anyhow, let me get started here. We got a good show for you tonight. Usually on the last show of the year, I try to do a wrap-up of what's been going on for the year and kind of give some projections for the next year. I like to call it the end-of-the-year show, but I had a couple of guys get in touch with me and that have some things going on in January that I thought this would be an excellent time to take this show and discuss that part with you. I'm still having that feedback problem, so y'all forgive me out there. I'm going to try to go on with this while we're trying to work out that problem, okay? We have two people that we're dealing with. We got two people that I think we found it. One of them is named Lev, and he's the organizing representative for the Beyond Code program in St. Louis. I'm going to have him on first. And the other one is Maurice Copeland, and he's here with a guy. Just a second. I'll get his name here in a second. Guy. A guy with a guy named Guy. All right. We got the confusions out of the way. Now I'm ready to get started. First of all, we're going to stop and we're going to have the news brought to you for the first time by a new guy. His name is Dan Conley. So we'll take a break and let Dan give us our news.
Smelter closes in Missouri. Herculaneum, Missouri has been tied inseparably to lead mining for more than two centuries. It is home to the country's only primary lead smelter that processes the raw ore into metal to make car batteries, X-ray shields, and many other products. The company that runs the smelter in this small town, 25 miles south of St. Louis, Doe Run, will cease most operations in 2 days, citing rising regulatory cost. The town has designated a government Superfund site and ordered to dig up and remove tons of contaminated dirt. Many of the town's children are found to have high, dangerous lead levels in their blood. The town has long posted signs urging parents to keep kids from playing in the streets and from wearing their shoes indoors. 75 of the 300 present workers will stay on for secondary purposes such as making alloys for specialized customers. Catherine Logan Smith of the Missouri Coalition for the Environment acknowledged drawbacks but said that the residents' lives are hopefully going to get better and there's an opportunity to re-envision Herculaneum as it is and ought to be. Energy production tax credits. The wind industry is hard at work in the last few days of 2013, rushing to make sure projects qualify for an important subsidy before it vanishes at midnight Tuesday. Unlike last year, when projects had to be in commercial development, this year they only need to have begun in order to qualify for the production tax credit, PTC, that is worth 2.3 cents a kilowatt hour for the first 10 years of production. Kevin A. Lynch, Managing Director of External Affairs at Iberdrola Renewables, which develops and operates green energy projects, said, "In the next term, projects that do not have the PTC attached to them are probably difficult to justify economically for buyers to purchase and therefore for us to build." China field pollution. In the agricultural heartland of China, the fields are ringed by factories and irrigated with water tainted by industrial waste. Earlier today, a vice minister of land and resources, Wang Xiaoyun, gave an alarming glimpse of official government findings when he said at a news conference in Beijing that 8 million acres of China's farmland, equal to the size of Maryland, have become so polluted that planting crops on it, quote, should not be allowed, unquote. According to a book published earlier this year by the Ministry of Environmental Protection, 1/6 of China's arable land, nearly 50 million acres, suffers from soil pollution.
Right, gang. Thank you, Dan. We appreciate that. Look forward to hearing more from you. Okay, fellas. I mean, folks, I'm back. And I can kind of get this program back in order. That opening was kind of hectic there for me, so I was a little distracted. As I said, I think there's a couple of things going on here in Kansas City, in the Kansas City metropolitan area, that we need to know about. Lev, I'm going to bring him on first. Lev, how you doing? Happy New Year's, pal.
Happy New Year to you, Richard. Thanks so much for having me on.
Okay, my speakers are down. Hold on again. All right, I had it turned down here up under my head. Yeah, well, I think what's going on in what Beyond Coal is going to do here in the Kansas City area needs to start receiving as much attention as it can. So I am committing my time on this show to the Beyond Coal movement to make sure that anytime there's a need to get some kind of word out, that you can always depend on me or call on me to help you with that, okay?
All right. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on, and hopefully we can spread the word about some good conversations about energy independence that's going on in January in the Kansas City area.
Now, before I get started on this, I got to talk about your bio here. Says that sure. Says that Lev works in Missouri as an organizing representative for the Sierra Club Beyond Coal campaign, but it says Lev has a BA in economics and a JD concentrating on environmental law. What's that? What's a JD? What's that?
Yeah, well, I went to law school and I got my Juris Doctor over in Maryland, and so I am licensed to practice law over in the state of Maryland, and I am in Missouri continuing on the environmental advocacy to make sure that we can shift to cleaner fuels away from fossil fuels.
Boy, I am so glad. You just don't know. You're in trouble, buddy, now that I know you. You just don't know. There's always a place for someone like you in the things that we do. So when I saw that, I was going to make sure that I was reading what I thought I was reading before we even began our discussion tonight. Okay, talk to me about why is there a need to make this shift from fossil fuel?
Sure. Well, right now, especially in the state of Kansas as well as the state of Missouri, we are relying an enormous amount on burning coal to produce our electricity. And the trend over the entire country is to move away from burning coal to produce electricity because the impacts, both in terms of our health, environment, economy, are just so devastating in order to produce electricity from an outdated, expensive, dirty fuel source as coal. Coal is dirty from the mining of it to the burning of it to the disposal. And in fact, it's not good for our health, our environment, and especially our economy, because we need to be able to have a sustainable way to produce long-term job growth with really good, skilled labor. And coal is not the bet that we want because it, in the end, is really going to be something that is going to hurt our health, both physically and of our economy in the long term.
Okay. And you know, keep in mind that I'm with the Kansas Sierra Club and also work
sure.
with the Beyond. And you know, I work with the Beyond Coal folks. In fact, I've been to St. Louis with your group, and we'll start working with your group here in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm looking forward to that. If we can work out some arrangements, that I'll look forward to being able to do that. One of the questions I would do ask you is, okay, so we got this problem with burning coal. The reason I mentioned the point about us being in Kansas is, you know, we just had a settlement with BPU, our utility company, over there about the burning of coal and the retrofitting of their plants to bring them up to standards as far as EPA regulations are required. My concern, coming back to you, because this is what happened to us. When I was excited about what we had accomplished and started talking to what I would like to consider the everyday person, like the people sitting out there maybe listening to us on this air, it was kind of like, so what? I mean, there wasn't the excitement that I thought that people should have. So we, in talking to Holly, who you work for also, she said that the next thing, one thing that we should do is to make sure we do a better job educating and going leading up to the conclusions of our efforts, okay? So I'm coming to you now and say, so what can a person do to make sure that their voices are being heard, or make sure, or what can go on to help educate the public? You know, not everybody focusing in on politicians and officials, but what about the public? What can we do?
Well, the rubber hits the road when we need to pay our utility months at the end of each month, and it's in the people's power to be able to advocate to have the most affordable rates with the cleanest fuel sources. And so there are some decision points that folks in the Kansas City metro area are going to be having over the next year, and certainly in the next few months, because the Environmental Protection Agency, which is tasked with protecting our environmental health, is going to be making sure that coal plants will be following new updated standards for our health. And in order to do that, ratepayers will either have to pay more money in the form of higher rates to retrofit these coal plants to come up with standards that we in 2013 and 2014 expect to have for our air quality. Or we can shift away from those higher rates to retrofit those coal plants and instead turn to cheaper sources of cleaner energy like wind, which is already at cost of natural gas and in coal in many places. And solar is also becoming a very attainable source to make sure that our electricity is going to be provided to us in a cheaper way. So for folks who are in the Kansas City area, to make sure that their rates are going to be affordable going forward while protecting their health, is going to be starting a conversation with their elected officials and with their municipalities, as well as the state agencies like the Public Service Commission, to make sure that when those decisions are being made on how to produce electricity in the next year, that they choose the correct option of wind energy and solar and other renewables and energy conservation, which are going to be much cheaper than putting these very expensive retrofits on aging coal plants. And when they hear the voice of the public, who are the ratepayers, who also are voters, then that is something that is very powerful, and you'll be able to see it in your air quality and in lower utility bills.
Okay, so if I'm hearing you correctly, you said a lot then. Let me see if I can put it in some kind of perspective. One, the very first thing off the top is rates. The increase in rates to retrofit the existing coal plants so that they can be online with EPA's regulations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
correct.
That's a major issue for the average guy and gal to understand that's going to affect their bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got to take this home.
Exactly.
See, my concern after going through what I have over in Wyandotte County is that this coal fired plant thing that's going on around the country gets to the kitchen table. But when it goes to the kitchen table, it can't be as complicated as it is being talked about in the open on the open forums. We got to get it down to A, B, C, and D. So for the utility companies to do what the law is about to make them do, they're going to have to either close plants, find another form of use, of energy, or retrofit their existing plants.
That's right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Now, when they do that, the persons that will suffer the consequences of them in any of those decisions is going to be the ratepayers, because they're the ones
right.
that's going to have to pay the cost. Okay, now that's the issue right there. I want to add to it that one of the plants in Wyandotte County has to be retrofitted. They're taking two of the plants and they're going to start burning natural gas in them, which is a pacifier but a better solution than burning coal. The plant that has to be retrofitted, we're talking about a cost, it is public now, so I can see it across the air, $250 million had to be received from the city. That's taxpayers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's ratepayers, taxpayers.
That's
so,
right.
So what you're saying is true. That is the issue, because they're going to try to retrofit that existing coal-fired plant out there to make that happen. So we come back into the when you talk about ratepayers and taxpayers, you mentioned something about them talking to their public officials or making their comments heard, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, now this,
and
go
if,
ahead.
Mm-hmm, go ahead, please.
No, now this is an area that I really want you to address, because ratepayers and regular folks are not accustomed to the dialogue that's needed with those politicians and officials out there at those utility companies. How can they get that kind of help?
That's right. Well, we are actually having a educational discussion coming up on January 11th. That's Saturday, January 11th, and it's on the Missouri side, but it's still in the Kansas City area.
Right.
And we're going to be talking about how to talk to your elected officials in a way that will be most persuasive, so that they can hear your voice and know that you do not want to be paying higher rates for dirty electricity. And when there are enough of us on the ground making calls and writing letters to our local officials, then they are going to get the message that we've had enough of being taken advantage of being basically the pocketbooks for these corporations to continue burning dirty coal at our expense and making them profits. So we need to make sure that the politicians know that we're angry and that we've had enough of this and that we want change. And the only way to do that is to be able to educate yourself a little bit. It doesn't need to be to the point of a scientist or anything, but to know that the light and the heat come at a very high environmental health cost, and that you do not want to continue to pay for this dirty energy and lock in these higher rates for years to come. And so we're going to be having a discussion on January 11th, which is a Saturday, on the Missouri side of the state line. And we'd love to have people come out and get a little bit more informed and be able to get some of that confidence to be able to send phone calls and letters into whoever your local official happens to be.
Okay, now that was the thing, and we're running out of time, so mm-hmm. you always run out of time when you're having fun. But that was but it worked out just fine because my question led you right into what I had you on here for, and that's that meeting that's going to be on January the 11th. I see that it's going to be in the Independence area, so that's not the problem. You have an address here, but it's going to be from at 10 a.m. On January the 11th. That's a Saturday. It's going to be mm-hmm. out there, and it says you and other concerned residents in the Kansas City metropolitan area, a community mm-hmm. conversation, an information session about how to address Independence pressing electric rate decision. Like you said, it's zeroing in mm-hmm. on Independence, but it's really going to be of value to anyone in the Kansas City metropolitan area, right?
Absolutely, absolutely, because these are universal issues that people in all of their municipalities, towns, cities are facing. It's happens to be in Independence, but the things that you would learn are really applicable to wherever you happen to be living.
Okay. Well, I know that I have to push on, but I got enough information from you. I'll repeat it again before I go off the air. Lev, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you is on vacation to take the time to get on the phone to talk about this. This is going to be my new push during this year. We need the public to start stepping up to the plate. We have done our part in getting these doors open and busting our heads with these folks at these places. Now it's time for the public to kind of take the initiative to step up to the plate and say, hey, we agree with this situation. We want to make sure you understand this is affecting us as a human, as American public, as a human being. Mm-hmm. You know, we want our children to grow up with clean air. We want our children to grow up and without pollution all in their face. We want energy efficiency to be taught and on a local level so that people will learn how to reduce their usage. So these kind of meetings are going to be starting. You're starting right off in January, and we're going to roll this all the mm-hmm. way through the year. So I'll do my part from this end. I appreciate you calling. And you go ahead and try to have a happy New Year's with the time you got left, and you and I will get back together at the first of the year. All right, buddy?
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful New Year, and I'll see you on the other side in 2014.
All right. Take care, lawyer.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll see you now.
All right.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a little break here, and we'll be right back with you.
You've probably received a letter recently from KKFI Board President Kathy Peters asking you to consider making a year-end tax-deductible donation to your community radio station. You tell us every day that you want to hear music that reflects your taste as well as straight, unfiltered, unsanitized news. If you agree that this is something worth supporting, please send your payment instructions in the envelope enclosed with Kathy's letter or donate online at kkfi.org.
Professor Stephen Youngblood will assess how the U.S. media reports on the Middle East, such as the tendency to personify an enemy to better sell military intervention. Professor Youngblood is the director of Park University's Center for Global Peace Journalism, which seeks to frame news coverage to improve prospects for peace without compromising good. That's the All Souls Forum, noon, every Wednesday, right here on KKFI.
All right, gang, I'm back, and we got through that first session. I told you, this is a little different. I could have came on with my end-of-the-year wrap-up, but that meeting he's talking about is very, very important. I know what I experienced over in Wyandotte County, and I know now that we need to make sure we're educating the public, that we're getting the public to step up and do their part to show people that we have a reason for saying these things. This just doesn't, not just with the utility companies. Heck, before I get off the air today, I'm going to talk about where I think we ought to be expressing ourselves to EPA. You know, we need to be coming together as people and start taking our issues and our claims to folks. Anthony, before I go any further, I was supposed to come back with a list today of the different meetings and stuff they're having in Wyandotte County. I'm sorry, sir. I got caught up with holiday stuff, and I just forgot to put it down and bring it to you. But there is a meeting that's going to be held by Federal Reserve at Reardon Center up at the JFK. I mean, the Reardon Center at 5th and Minnesota. It's going to be January the 18th at 6 o'clock. January the 18th at 6 o'clock. That's an economic development meeting for Wyandotte County. If you can get up there, sir, I appreciate it. Look me up. I'll be there. So look me up if you get there. All right. Now, getting back to this second half, I had to get that in there while we was talking. My second guest is Maurice, along with Guy, and I'm going to have Maurice introduce Guy and bring y'all up to date on basically what he's about, why he's here. For those of you who don't know it, Maurice is Kansas City's whistleblower on the problems that are going on out at the Bendix plant, the Honeywell plant, whatever name you want to give to it. He was the one that caused the attention to be given to that plant or the circumstances and the conditions that existed out there. So I'm going to take the first 5 minutes of our time and let he and BB, his guest, bring us up to date on what it is that we're talking about this that happened out at the plant. And then we'll come back and talk about what we're doing now. So Maurice, introduce yourself, introduce your guest, and go ahead and take the time.
Yes, I'm Maurice Copeland. And my cohort here is Guy Beebe. Guy, you want to introduce yourself there?
Good evening and Happy New Year, everyone. My name is Guy Beebe. I'm a Marine that served at the Kansas City Federal Complex on Bannister. And that was where the Marine Corps Finance Center was for many, many years.
Yeah. Okay. First thing that I want to get out is the meeting. It's very important.
I want you to explain for folks who probably haven't never heard what happened. We'll go to the meeting.
Okay. I worked in the nuclear weapons industry. At Bendix, we make the non-nuclear components, the parts, for the nuclear weapons industry. And what happened was in 2000, the year 2000, President Clinton wrote an executive order, said that in our industry, since the beginning, that the people had been subject to exposures and conditions that were unhealthy for them. And he wrote an executive order called the Energy Employees Occupational Illness Compensation Act to handle the problems of exposures and to get medical cards and compensation for the employees. And they've admitted that, and they've admitted it, admitted that it was unknown to the employees. We were not told, and that this is what the government would do. Okay? So that's what happened.
And then then somewhere down the line, you stepped up to the plate to make people aware of the fact that this had been going on out there at the plant and that it was not being addressed. Is that right?
Initially.
That's where we at. Huh? That the initial part, it was not being addressed. You brought that out.
It was introduced. And it was introduced to the supervision to relay to the employees, but it was introduced with inaccurate information.
Okay, all right.
And that's why.
So that's what you got started, and you got this thing rolling in that period of time, and then you even had one of the news stations in town to hear you and look into it and found out, in fact, it was indeed a problem. I mean, I'll go as far as to say that the very first conference that I gave at the building, Breaking the Silence conference, Maurice was there. He spoke about the problem. Also, an EPA lady was there, and also another lady, Ann
Sullentrop,
was there, and the three of them got a chance to meet. And from that meeting came, what I like to see say was the push that made this issue and concern about what was happening out there at Honeywell a front burner issue, and it's been blazing ever since then. Okay, so Vivi, how do you fit into this?
Well, I was stationed at the Bannister Federal Complex, which has two sides. There's the Bendix / Allied Signal / Honeywell side, which produces the non-nuclear components for nuclear weapons. At least that's what they say.
Right.
Then there's the civilian side, where GSA hosts a whole alphabet soup of other agencies. There's NOAA. There's Department of Agriculture. There was the Marine Corps Finance Center. There were several large GSA offices as well. And that civilian side of the complex is not possible for them to, under the existing act, the Energy Employees Occupational Injury Compensation Program Act, cannot possibly pay out to them. Further, when we started going into the background of the complex, it was actually declared a Superfund cleanup site in 1987, and they never told anyone in the local community. They never told the city, they never told the county, they never told the state that they had declared it a Superfund cleanup site and that it had a known list of toxic and/or carcinogenic contaminants of over 873. That list grew to over 1,100. And 1,100 different toxic or carcinogenic materials are known to contaminate that site. So recently, when I heard that CenterPoint was going to come in and clean up the site for $175 million, I was somewhat surprised, because that was about the inflation-adjusted estimates that the EPA had for removal of the buildings when they first declared it a Superfund site. And their estimates for cleanup back in 1987 were $685 million.
All right. See, this is one thing about this situation that snowballs. And it's really difficult. I want both of you to understand. It's really difficult for laymen, and I consider myself the king layman in town, when it comes to these kind of issues, to wrap their hands around it, because it's so complex. There's so many different aspects about it. Okay, I mean, I'm just overwhelmed that you had that many toxic chemicals out there in one place. It around all those different departments and stuff that you were claiming was working there, and then you start thinking how many of those people could really be affected by those chemicals. Well, that's one aspect of it. Now I see both of y'all ready to go. I mean, I know that. I know that's there. But my concern is that I know for a fact, because of my relationship with Maurice, that this has been talked about for years.
13.
Years,
and here's the thing that most recently we got a whole series of public meetings where we had Representative Emanuel Cleaver and Senator Claire McCaskill show up, and they brought along members from EPA. Missouri Department of Natural Resources, and NIOSH, National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health Administration, who frankly has no jurisdiction over anything except radiological issues. And Dr. Ellen Page of NIOSH stood up in front of that audience and swore, basically on her professional credentials, that there was, nor could there ever have been, a health hazard at the Bannister Federal Complex. Ludicrous. Absolutely impossible. Unless she's a god, she can't know that, because she does not have a tracking device that tells her where every atom of toluene, or every molecule of toluene, or every molecule of trichloroethylene, or where every bit of fiber of asbestos, or where every particle of dust of beryllium, or when we actually had the only single call to the National Nuclear Emergency Response Team that has ever happened in the history since Three Mile Island, they created this team of scientists from the three national laboratories, Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, Scandia National Laboratory, and Argonne National Laboratory. Oak Ridge is involved as well. And this specialist team of nuclear physicists was to be called in any case where there's a radiological hazard of a contamination of, known to have happened. In 1988, they were called in to Bannister Federal Complex. And I've read the full report, 180 pages of incredibly dense, very technical information. And you know what it all boiled down to? The fools had no idea what they were dealing with.
who are we talking about?
I'm talking about
the people that did the testing?
The people at Bendix
that worked
were
there.
Supposed to be getting in a radiological, an experimental radiation source.
The people who work there?
Yes.
Okay. See, and again, I told you, it gets very complicated because we could go for days. Now, you say that you had your meeting with the elected officials and they brought in their expert, and the expert said there was no way that nothing could happen from that. Okay, so they brought in their expert that said that. Is there, and usually when you have one expert on one side saying something, do you have an expert on the other side?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And, the statements that Elena Page made, to show you how nonsensical they are, and it should be...
I agree.
I have to make this example.
Yeah.
Okay. Her office also said, when they came in at this same meeting, that if the people at Honeywell ate more vegetables and fruit, they wouldn't have all these cancers. So, I mean,
First of all, I'm going to throw this number out there, so if anyone wants to call in, the number, if you'd like to call in, you can on this, because this is a tough conversation, and I need as much help as I can in me sitting there talking to these two young men. 816-931-5534. 816-931-5534. Now, let me come back. So we're sitting around the table, and here my elected official brought in Joe Moe to say that there's no way those chemicals could have hurt anybody. Now,
she also said,
don't go to her no more. I want to know, is there a person for the other side?
No, and you know why?
Okay.
Because right now, contrary to law, GSA and the government are getting non-disclosure agreements on anyone who gets a settlement. They're getting hushed by the courts. If they want their money, if they want to keep their money, if they get a settlement, they sign a non-disclosure,
okay.
And they,
right.
that's wrong.
That's wrong. Don't we have an expert? When I deal with Beyond Coal, and they have a problem with what's happening with the coal-fired plants, the scientists will step up to the plate and represent Beyond Coal. Do you all have that?
Well, look.
We got a caller. So hang on. Caller, you on the air. Will you give me your first name and the part of the city you're calling from, please?
Sure, man. I'm Clayton, and I live in Lee's Summit. I worked at Bendix, LED Signal, and Honeywell for 21 years. From 1978 through 1997. And I was in quality assurance and got a pretty good picture of what went all on that plant. And unfortunately, the chemicals used and trichloroethylene and inhalants, and there's stuff in the air out there, man. You know, they still probably won't 20 years come out with stuff find out later, you know.
So let me get you right. So you're saying that you agree that there was a health hazard?
Yes, sir. 100%.
My goodness.
And it's hidden health.
Okay. Have you been involved with these folks sitting around this table?
No, sir. I have
okay,
not.
I'm glad you're on the line, because we're getting ready to talk about a meeting they're getting ready to have up here in January, and people like you need to show up, because
I
said on the first part of this with the last guy, if we don't start getting the public out, so people can hear from folks.
There's a lot of us retired folks out there wanting more information.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, you heard, you hear me? Okay. Thank you. Thanks for calling, Clayton. I appreciate that, man. And I'm gonna talk to you off the line. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate you. And listen for the information on this meeting we're gonna talk about. Okay.
I will. Thank you so much.
Yeah. See, anyone else out there like Clayton? Call. There's the number, 816-931-5534. Okay, go ahead.
I want to tell you, you say, is there someone out there that advocates on our side or that will show the opposite of
expert.
Expert. And the expert is Miss Elena Page herself. It's NIOSH themselves. Those are the experts. If nothing was wrong out at that plant. Now, I want you to understand that the sum that I'm going to throw out here is pittance. It's nothing. But here, if nothing happened at that plant, why have they paid over $100 million in claims?
Okay, I got you on that. I hear you. But I'm saying... They may have a multitude of reasons why they've done that.
And it's my turn.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, right. I'll answer your question. The reason that we don't have an expert is because they have thrown a national security blanket over this whole thing. They bring in NNSA, the National Nuclear Security Agency. They're the people who are charged by Congress to build the nuclear weapons and then turn them over to the military. They actually contract with the Department of Energy. Department of Energy hires Bendix or Allied Signal / Honeywell, and they actually build them. Now, but the thing is, they have declared their health, safety, and environmental records national security issues. We can't get any information on it.
Okay.
On top of that, required by law, every year after they were declared a Superfund cleanup site, GSA was required to have an abatement plan and show progress towards that plan. What they've been doing is pumping untreated, contaminated groundwater into the Blue River for 25 years. They won't let anyone else test it. They won't test it themselves, and they lost all the records. When Mary Rury, the GSA facilities manager, appeared before Congress, and they demanded the truth. She told them the Library of Congress lost it. Well, they let that stand. And the Library of Congress is pretty upset about it, because they never lose anything.
And see, I'm with you all. That's why you're here. I mean, it just frustrates the hell out of me. Excuse me for using such vulgar language, but it really does. Because I've been with my guy here, and I've seen the frustration on his face. I've seen him struggle through these conversations. And I know that 13 years, it's been talked about. I saw people starting to get paid. Okay, I mean, you know, people that are filing claims. They're allowing you to file claims. So there's obvious something there.
Yeah.
This is why the American public, believe me when I say this, is going to have to take a part. They're going to have to. Because when you only have your whistleblowers, and Guy, I am definitely adding you to the list of whistleblowers, that are the ones that's doing the talking, they can say it's because you're whistleblowers. But when you got Ma and Pa, when you got Clayton calling in here, you know, and he's saying, hey, you know, I've been wanting to know about this forever. That's what's needed. And come on, let's talk about this meeting, because I want to make sure we get that in.
But here, this is the way you get the public. This is what you get the public involved in. You show them what is happening right in front of their faces. Now, let me. We have mentioned this already, and I know it went right over people's heads. Centerpoint is gonna.
Yeah,
wait
but that's
a minute.
A totally
this
different
is
story.
Important.
Yeah, no. I know. That's. Well, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying about them and the cleanup and stuff.
No, you don't, because
okay,
you won't
ahead.
Let me say it.
Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, this is for the public, so that you can zero in on what is going on around you. CenterPoint is going to clean that place up for $175 million. Your United States government, over 30 years ago, estimated the cleanup at over $500 million, and we know that they've even estimated it up in the billions of dollars. How is some real estate company going to come in and clean this place up for $175 million? So you better pay attention to everything that's going on out at that plant, because you're being took. The government is going to give these people $175 million. That won't even clean up Department 95.
And here's another thing. Just to give you some idea of why you should be concerned, does asbestos ring a bell? How about uranium? How about promethium? How about radiation? How about polychlorinated biphenyls, PCBs? Those are all known to be there on that site.
I don't want y'all to get me wrong. And I started this off saying it's a very complicated, involved subject. And no, Maurice, I'm not saying that you shouldn't care about that. That aspect of it is just a graft that goes on in this country. That's all that is.
Oh, and it's okay.
It's not okay. That's the graft that goes on in this country. If you bring down that graft, you're going to bring down this country. It goes all the way to D.C. It's not only in here. Well, it's not only in GSA. It's in everything we deal with in this country.
Know, so Richard,
what your contract is given on the local level.
Let me
level,
tell you what the government
what
told
your,
me.
What your contract is given on a local level. You got that graft. That's just,
okay.
It's almost like a part of the American system to deal in that illegal type contracting processes that goes on in this country. They're giving it to their brothers. They're giving it to their sisters. They're giving it to their children. So I'm saying, fine. I'm not saying it's not a problem. Yes, it's a problem. But the main thing is we have people dying.
That's right. And that's what I'm saying.
And we got to take, I got another call coming. We got to find that one thing that we can put all of our eggs in the basket on, and people dying, to me, is important. That is probably the key issue of anything that's going on in the environmental movement, is the fact that people are dying. We got another call.
Let's play these spots real quick first.
All right, we're going to play the spot, and then I'll be back to you on the call.
This week on the Heartland Labor Forum, hear Bob McChesney on Dollarocracy, how the money and media election complex is destroying America. Then, cheer up with our new feature, Labor, the Next Generation. We talk to a 19-year-old fast food worker and organizer. That's Heartland Labor Forum, Thursday, 6 p.m., rebroadcast Friday, 5 a.m.
This week on The Bioneers, Revolution from the Heart of Nature.
A lot of people ask, why should I care? If the ocean dried up tomorrow, what difference would it make to me? Okay, let's get rid of the ocean. What have you got? You've got a planet a lot like Mars. No pesky ocean there.
I'm Neil Harvey. Please join us this week when our guests will be Sylvia Earle and Jay Nichols. It's Mother Ocean, Every Breath We Take on The Bioneers, Revolution from the Heart of Nature.
Friday morning at 9:30, right after Between the Lines.
All right, I'm back, gang. Sorry about that if you heard me speaking in between. We got a caller on the line. Caller, you on the air. Give me your first name, part of the city you're calling from, please.
Well, my name's Eric, and I'm
say that again.
That's where I'm at right now.
Your name is who?
Eric.
Eric. All right, got you. I'm having a problem hearing Eric. All right, go ahead, sir.
Well, I worked there back in the 70s, and I keep hearing about a lawsuit against Bendix and everything, but I never hear about the testing they do on people from... I get tested every 3 years by Oak Ridge. Anybody else getting tested?
Fellas? Yeah. Yeah, people are getting medically screened. Some people aren't. Some people really don't, and they'll tell you they don't want to know what's wrong with them. They know that there's something wrong with them. But As far as you get tested every 2-3 years, they must have given you a reason why to come back every 2 or 3 years. Either you, your test was
abnormal readings.
Huh?
Abnormal readings is what they
abnormal readings. Yeah, that's what I mean. Either you had an abnormal reading, something was there. You know, it's almost like having HIV but not having AIDS. They're waiting until you blow up before they tell you really what's wrong with you. That's what's going on. So the point that we need to make to the people out here that worked there, I worked there in 1968 all the way to 2000. I was a manager out there, and we're having a meeting. I'm going to get to that now, Richard.
Let me get Eric off the line. Eric, I'm going to let you off the line, but I'm glad you called in, and pay attention to this meeting that you're ready to talk about, okay?
What I was wanting to find out about. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, sir. All right, now let's go to this meeting. First of all, the date of the meeting is?
The date of the meeting is the 14th of January.
January the 14th. Okay, y'all, write that down, and now we'll start talking about what this meeting's about. What's the meeting about?
There's actually two meetings. The first meeting, January the 14th, is going to be NIOSH, that's the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, that are going to come in, and they're going to spell out what is going on. I filed for a petition. It's a SEC petition, which is a special exposure cohort. And what that special exposure cohort says is, and it deals with the radiation aspect of what went on out at that plant. The special exposure cohort says that anyone that, if granted, now if we are granted this special exposure cohort, which I filed for, anyone that suffered one of 22 cancers will receive a medical card, if it's granted, will receive a medical card to take care of the illness and also go and take care of all the subsequent things that happened to them up to this point with their diagnosis of...
One of 22.
I have the 22 here.
I heard you reading them on one of that interviews you was giving, and it pretty much across the board.
Yes, pretty much
cancer,
across the board.
You was naming off the stuff. Some of them, you know, it's just, it's got a lot of them on there. That's all I tell folks. Come to the meeting, and you can figure out. You have some of this information at the meeting?
Everything is going to be there.
Okay, let me tie down the meeting again.
Okay.
SEC.
Right.
Is having to grant something, right?
Yes, it's a status. It's a special
status. SEC stands for, again?
Special Exposure Cohort.
SEC stands for?
Special Exposure Cohort.
Exposure Cohort. Okay, now, you've applied to them for this meeting on the 14th.
Yeah.
Okay, so the meeting on the 14th, they will come. They got to grant that meeting.
Huh?
Do they have to grant that
they've
meeting?
They've already granted
they've
the
already
meeting.
Granted.
They're required to come here.
Okay, so they'll come here,
yes.
Sit down at a panel table in front of you, and then you'll have folks getting up, going to a mic, and doing what?
No. What I'm going to have there, I'm going to have the people from NIOSH. They're going to come here. They're going to set up a computer bank. And anybody that has filed a claim, they will be able to look at their claim as it's happening right now.
Okay, so these are for people who have filed.
It's not all.
Okay.
It's not all. Also, we are encouraging, and NIOSH, the government, is encouraging people to file. We will have people there to file your claim at that moment. We're going to have people there to take your claims.
Okay. So you got two groups now. One, people who have filed, so they can look to see the status of their claims.
Right.
Two, people who want to file.
Right.
Okay. What about people who are like Eric and Clayton, who just want to know?
That's it. That's what the people.
The third group.
If Eric and those other people have not filed a claim, but yet they're in the screening process, you better file a claim.
Okay, got that. What if they just want to know what's going on?
Well, they'll be able to find out everything then.
That'll be there then, too.
Oh, that's clear, because so they're going to explain the whole program and what the SEC means.
All right, okay, so that's on the 14th.
That's on the 14th.
Because that was my reason for bringing Maurice in, and I know we're running short on time, so I want you to understand, where is that meeting going to be?
The meeting's going to be held at the IBEW Hall off of 105th and Holmes. You turn on 105th and Holmes. If you're coming from the south, you turn left. If you're coming from the north, you turn right on 105th and Holmes and follow the road.
All right. I got a couple of minutes left, so I want to make sure we get that out there, because there's one other meeting. And that other meeting is with the President's Advisory
Board.
And they're coming to do what?
That is very important. They're coming in to announce the decision on the awarding of the SEC. That is very important.
So does anything that happened on the 14th have anything to do with that group coming?
I'm happily thinking that it is.
Okay. When is that group coming?
That group is coming, and this is very important, Kansas City.
Right.
You need to be involved. That group is coming in on the 28th of January.
January the 28th.
Yes.
Okay. Now, we got the two meetings. Where is that meeting going to be held?
That meeting, as far as I know right now, it's going to be held at the same place.
Same place. All right, so the place we're using for these meetings is IBEW Hall.
IBEW Hall.
And at 105th and Holmes.
Right.
Okay, the one meeting on the 14th, that's for you workers. That's for everybody that's been involved and anybody that wants to know what the heck is going on. That's the meeting. What time is that meeting?
Now, that's another thing. The exact time has not been set because we're going to have... You might as well say it's going to be an all-day session, because we want to be able to catch the people in the day and in the evening. So the exact time has not been set, but we will have morning and evening.
How can people find out
about
the time?
Oh, I'll be finding out about it. I didn't get an email today, a notification today. The government, the Department of Labor, is sending out invitations.
Okay, I'm going to have to give my time. Go ahead. I'm listening to you.
They're sending out invitations. Everything is supposed to be announced on the media, and I'm sure the KKFI will.
We'll do is we'll put it on our website when we get it. You let us know, and we'll get it to Mike, and Mike can get it on the website to let you know exactly that time. And I'll keep making sure we announce it on each one of our shows on Mondays, so we'll keep giving you a follow-up on all three of the meetings you heard about. Now, I got to go. Mike is looking at me with those eyes, and I don't need to be getting in trouble with him. We had a good show. Maurice, I'm glad you came. It was very nice meeting you guys. I see he's got a cohort working with him, and it's about time. I'm really proud of that. And you see, we hang in there. I'll fight you on it all the way down the line. Thank you all for calling in. Let's have a great year, and please... Please be safe.
Yeah.
There's this bunch of chemicals about which you should know. We call them bad actors because they always spoil the show. They've always been awful and they don't try to hide it. We keep trying to use them, but now we can't deny it that they're bad actors. To get along, it's deep inside their chemistry. It's really not their fault. There's the heavy metal gang with mercury and lead. There is cadmium and others, but they all leave you dead. We must be careful how we use these heavy metal dudes, or the heavy metal gang will gang up on you. Chemicals, the organochlorines, furans and dioxins, PCBs and DDTs. We used them to kill and then we thought that they were through, but they build up in our fat and now they're killing me and you. Yes, they're bad actors. They always spoil the show. These bad actors, the bad actors have to go. They say, this ain't no act, this is for real. Try one of us, see how you feel. We're the ones who dug them up and made them pure and strong. In Holmes and
cars and factories, they always go wrong. Try as we might to keep them in, they spill or leak or blow, and we make ourselves the victims of these devils from below. Yes, they're bad actors, we have ourselves to blame. These bad actors, they always act the same.
Thanks for listening to Eco Radio KC on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community.